In part two of the introduction, we explained how the entire physical world was included in what is called the upper circle. And that upper circle, the inner soul of that upper circle, is just coming out as an influence from the what is called the excretion of the angels, means the life force which the angels leave over. And now to explain how this life force comes actually into the world, means into the physical world. So first of all, we have to understand that basically what we're talking about is that the whole physical world with all the power that comes out for it and all the details of what will come out, for instance, the encoding of the DNA and RNA into all the animals, which that encoding is according to their soul power, means that when a cat soul comes into physical matter, it will encode the DNA patterns in such a way that it'll become a cat. And later on, whatever that cat eats, it'll turn it into a cat. Whatever a dog eats, it'll turn it into a dog. In other words, the way this happens is by an encoding. There's an inner program of letters which encodes what the inner shape of the animal will be, and that shape is according to the animal soul of that animal, which enlivens it. Now, as we explained, that all the souls means all the animal life force, which enlivens all the physical bodies, such as plants and animals, and including the physical life force which enlivens the human body, are all included in what is called the upper cycle, which is the total unity of the physical world, which means it includes within itself the entire physical world, and that upper cycle is included in what is called the leftovers of the angels. Which that leftover is just a little bit of the light of the upper world above it, means it's the totally lowest light, means what they throw out, the leftovers, the rejected light. In other words, that this is basically, so to speak, the waste product of the lowest creatures of that world. And in that lowest waste product of the lowest creatures of that world is included the entire soul of the upper cycle of our physical world. Now, what does it mean actually included? It doesn't actually mean that it's included even in a potential manner necessarily. It's included only in a way that it's called a hiyuli, which is an Aramaic word which corresponds to the modern word helium, which does not refer to the gas that we fill up balloons, but was used to in ancient Greece and in the ancient countries. That word was used to mean an ethereal essential thing. So in order to explain how the entire life force of this world is included in the upper cycle, we can take an allegory from how the entire life force of an animal is included within the animal. And there's an even lower allegory, how the various movements of an animal are included in the power of movement of that animal. So, for instance, in a particular animal, like a cat, for instance, in a cat, there's all kinds of abilities of various movements, which when these movements come out, we say that they came out from that power of movement which the cat had. Now, that power of movement is included in the animal soul of the cat because, as we see, the cat only has the power of movement when it has the soul, as long as it's alive. If the cat will die for some reason, you'll notice that it can no longer move. Of course, there's other things it won't be able to do. you will no longer be able to see, for instance. So from this, we see that really the power of sight was also included in the animal soul. And we see that the power of hearing, etc., etc. But basically, in other words, the way, for instance, that the power of movement was included, so we understand like this, that whatever movements came out came from the power of movement. So in the power of movement of that cat, there was what we call a hiyuli for all the movements of the cat. Now a hiyuli means that there's all kinds of things in there that will not necessarily come out, and they don't actually have an existence there. What does it mean? The example is given like the difference between the fire that's in a coal and the fire that's in a flint. Like a flint is like a flintstone that is inside a lighter, and when you turn the thing, it makes little sparks. In the old days, they actually had to take two flintstones and hit them together and in order to get a spark. So we see that you can get a fire out of a flintstone, you can get a fire out of a coal. What's the difference? The way that the energy of the fire is in the coal, it actually exists there in a potential manner. Means there's a certain amount of energy in that coal. When you burn it up, it'll be gone. And the way that it exists in a flint, there's no actual existence of fire in the flint. That's why nothing will happen unless you strike it in order to bring it out from the hiyuli. Means from the ethereal way that it's just an ability to bring a fire rather than the actual power of a fire. Which, like in the coal, there's an actual potential power of the fire. And that's why the fire that's in the coal, there's only that much fire in there. If it's a big coal, there'll be more fire. If it's a little coal, there'll be less fire. While something that's in a hiyuli fashion is in an infinite fashion. And a more abstract allegory on it is a talent. That, for instance, if a person has a talent to play a piano, like a real big pianist, in other words, a very famous, world-renowned pianist. So we say that it's because of his talent, that he had an inherent talent, and that's why he's such a great piano player. And we say that not just anybody could become a great piano player like him. It's not that just anybody at all, if he'll just sit and practice, will become as great a piano player as him, because he might not have the inherent talent like this great piano player. But on the other hand, we also understand that this inherent talent was not there in a way that could be called a potential. It means that it was actually there, that he actually had, in a hidden way, all the knowledge to play all the various tunes that he now knows how to play on the piano. Really, it wasn't there. He had to practice. He had to bring it out in the same way that on the flint you have to hit it in order to bring out the fire. He had to put an effort into it. And if he wouldn't have put the effort into it, he also wouldn't have been a great piano player, even though the talent would have still been there in a hiyuli fashion. So this is the explanation of hiyuli, and try to understand it and maybe go over the tape a little bit, because this concept of a hiyuli will be brought up many, many times during the seminar. And the basic difference between a hiyuli and a potential is that a potential means that the thing actually has an existence, like the fire in the coal just has an existence, but it's a hidden existence. But the energy is there, it's just that later it's turned over from potential energy, meaning the chemical energy in the coal, to kinetic energy of an actual fire. Whereas a hiyuli means that the thing is not truly there. So, in the same way, all the movements within the cat are there only in a hiyuli fashion in the cat, meaning that it doesn't mean that the cat has to make these movements, and the movements will not run out. As long as the cat is alive, he'll be able to come up with new movements. it won't run out that he has, let's say, in other words, 5,000 movements and then there's no more movements. That's not how it works. Why? Because it's in a way of a hiyuli. Now, in the same way that the movements are only in a way of a hiyuli in the power of movement of the cat, it's understood that they're only in a way of a hiyuli in the actual soul of the cat, which in the soul of the cat, even the power of movement is only there in a way of a hiyuli along with various other things. And in the actual soul of the cat, there's basically only just that one singularity of the cat rather than really various powers, even though the various powers come out from it. Now, this allegory is used in Kabbalah all the way up to the actual way that the entire world is included in godliness. In other words, that the soul of the cat, along with the souls of all creatures of the physical world, are included in the upper cycle, which is the unity of the physical world. That is included in a hiyuli fashion in the waste matter of the angels, which each level of angels is included in a hiyuli fashion in the order of angel above it, all the way till, again, the lowest level of the upper world includes the entire lower world within it, so that each lower world is totally included, as if to say it's only one detail of what comes out from the lowest level of the world above it. This goes all the way up to the infinite light, that in the infinite light is included in a hiyuli fashion everything in all the worlds that came out of it. But included means that the same, like we said in the hiyuli of the power of movement of the cat, there's included a lot more than just the movements that actually came out of it. Really, there was a whole infinite gamut of movements which the cat could have made if circumstances would have been different. Now, this fact that the lower world, meaning our physical world, is totally included within the waste matter of the lowest angels is not meant just, in other words, like we said, a lessening of quantity, but of quality also. That, in other words, the actual angels are spiritual beings, while we are physical beings, which, in other words, our physical soul, meaning the life force which enlivens us within our body, which is found in our blood, is really solar energy. What does it mean that how do we move and see and everything is because we eat and breathe. And when we eat and then we then breathe, we create energy which our body transforms into chemical energy which goes into our blood cells. And then the blood cells take this energy to the entire body. But really it's physical energy, just like a fire, which is, in other words, you could take plant matter and burn it and you'll see that you can make a fire, and this fire is basically the same energy that we live on. In other words, the life of our body is just this fire, really, which the original source of that fire is in the solar energy. And the original source of that solar energy, as we said, is in a hiyuli fashion in the upper unity of the physical world, the all-inclusive cycle which includes the physical world. Now, that comes out from a higher world, which is really a spiritual world, meaning that, in other words, that we said that the soul of that upper cycle came out from the waste matter of the Afanim, which are called the angels, which are called the cycles. But basically, in other words, we have to understand that all the cycles of the world, the turnings of the universes, the water cycle, the carbon-oxygen cycle, the cycle of life and death, etc., etc., all come out from the upper cycle, which includes the whole universe in it.
Yeah.
And all these cycles are included in this upper cycle in a Hiyuli manner, meaning that they didn't actually exist there in an actual existence, but rather just came out of there. And basically it's understood that all the movements of all the different cycles are caused by the movement of this upper cycle in the same way like all the movements of all the little cycles of gears in a Swiss watch are all caused by your winding it up with one little cycle that is wound up, and this gives energy to all the circles inside of it because they're all connected in some way to each other. However, from the physical world to the world of the angels, there's more than just a quantitative leap, but there's a qualitative leap also from spiritual to material. As we said, that the life force in our world is like basically like fire, like physical fire. It's physical energy. Whereas the life force up there is in a spiritual manner, which is not like a physical thing. It's a whole different thing, so that in the same way it is understood that there's a difference between the actual movement of the cat and the inner soul of the cat, that it's a different thing, that the soul of the cat is like a spiritual thing, but it's only spiritual in regards to the physical universe. In other words, it's a more refined thing than the actual physical movement. But the world of the angels is much more spiritual. In other words, there's no actual comparison between our world and that world. And even the highest level of the angels of the lowest world of Asiya is only from the externality of the lowest level of that world, which is called Kingdom of Asiya, the Kingdom of the World of Action. And again, from the Kingdom of the World of Action, which is the lowest level of that, that receives from the next upper level all the way till the most uppermost level of the World of Action, which that is called the Crown. And that Crown of the World of Action receives again from the Kingdom of the World above it, which is called the World of Formation. And this goes on all the way till the highest crown of all the worlds, means the highest crown of the highest world, which is called the world of Atzilus, the world of emanation, which is called the godly world, receives from the kingdom of the infinite, means from the actual infinite light, which is above all the worlds. Now, the way the light actually comes down from that infinite light is in a way of a tzimtzum, which in Kabbalah, it explains the various things of Hishtalshalus, which means the chaining down of the worlds, as we explained now, that each world is connected to the world above it and is chained down from the world above it. So that even though we were explaining this sort of backwards from down here in our world, how it's connected to higher and higher spheres, in the same way, it is the explanation from the top, how from the actual infinite light of God comes down the chaining of the worlds, meaning that each world is like a chain, that the top of each link of a chain is connected to the bottom of the link above it, and so forth. And the top of that link is connected to the bottom of the link above it. And that's why it's called the chaining down of the world. But in terms of chaining down, it doesn't mean that each link is the same size of the other link, because over here, basically, we're saying that each link is only a detail of the end of the link above it. It means that, in other words, that the world of creation is only a detail of the world of emanation which precedes it, because it only comes out from the end part of the end sphera of kingdom, of the last emanation of that world, and it's only a part of it, so to speak. And that's why it's called the chaining down of the worlds. Now, however, there's also the thing of the lessening through which the life force goes from level to level, and we said from level to level, the lessening is not only quantitative, but also qualitative. So this is explained that in Kabbalah, it explains that the way the world was created is that first of all, God, so to speak, removed the infinite light in a certain place so that he created within it a spherical empty place. And into this spherical empty place, he sent down from that original infinite light a very, very thin, narrow line, meaning a finite line of light, which came down into the world in order to enliven it. Which is understood that if the whole entire light would shine still in that empty space, there would not be able to be a world, even though that is the light that enlivens that world, the whole world. And the allegory that's given on that is, for instance, like the light of the sun that we just said before, that all the life force of all the creatures of our physical world, meaning here on Earth, is all really solar energy. But however, it's understood that even though if there would be no sun, there would be no life on Earth. In other words, if our planet would not have a sun giving light to our world, there would be no life on it. On the other hand, if the light of the sun would be just as strong here on Earth as it was on the sun, there would also not be no life on Earth, meaning that everything would just burn up because it would be too much light. So, in other words, it's understood that there had to be a lessening in the infinite light in order to allow for a perception of a finite world. And this lessening, after the first gigantic lessening that took place in the actual infinite light, came out from that the upper godly worlds of Atzilus, of emanation, which this is the actual infinite light emanated in a finite form. And from that came the world of creation, which creation means already something out of nothing, meaning that this was already a whole new existence. And again, there was a lessening of the godliness from the world of Atzilus, of emanation, in order to come up with the three lower worlds of creation, which the worlds of creation, formation, and action are called these separate worlds. And the explanation of the Tzimtzum, the lessening, is as follows. That it is like a teacher that is trying to teach something to a student. And in order to teach him this thing, he has to put the idea into a much shorter form. Like, in other words, a great mathematician that wants to teach little kids how to also become great mathematicians. First of all, he's going to have to remove his whole light of his mind, the same like we said that God had to remove the entire light of the infinite light of godliness. He will have to remove the way that he understands mathematics, this great mathematician, and he'll have to think how to teach little kids. And the way he's going to have to teach little kids how to be great mathematicians, he's going to have to start off with something very, very simple. He's going to have to tell them that if you take one apple and you take another apple, so now how many apples you have? You have two apples. And if you take two apples and you take another two apples, so how many apples do you have? Now you have four apples. And if you have four apples and you eat one of those apples, so then you'll have only three apples. Which this is a very big lessening of the mental light of mathematics in comparison to what he had in his head. Because he knows calculus, and he knows geometry and trigonometry and numbers theory and all sorts of things like that. Whereas he's teaching the students 1 + 1 = 2, and even the fact that he's teaching them 1 + 1 = 2, He can't teach it to them in an abstract fashion of just if you have one and one, that makes two, but he has to make it into one apple plus one apple. In other words, to give them an example in physical terms, which it's understood that in the actual inner mathematics, it's not discussed in actual physical terms, that the 1 + 1 = 2 doesn't have to be an apple, and it doesn't even have to be a physical thing. So that the teacher has to make a total nullification of his own mind, meaning to remove how he sees mathematics, in order to be able to teach his students the very simple beginnings of mathematics. And in following, we will discuss this more.